Welcome to Walking with God, Pat Barry and Jeff Quinto's podcast, where Pat and Jeff talk about their walk with Christ.
My name is Pat Barry.
And my name is Jeff Quinto. And about every 2 weeks, Pat and I get together and we talk about our walk with Christ. Now, Pat, what are we going to talk about this week?
Things that Christians say that maybe we shouldn't.
And,
I came up with a list. I think we've all said at least a couple of these. I know I have. And actually, what started this for me is I heard it's a sad story. I recently heard a story from a pastor on the radio. Actually, he was relating the story about a family member who was sick, and the friends from church came in to pray, and she wasn't getting better. And somebody from the group towards the end said, "You know, well, your problem is you just don't have enough faith. You just need to have more faith."
Oh wow!
Sometimes that's kind of an extreme example, but you know, I've actually thought, you know, I've said that kind of stuff to people. You know, just have faith. You know, you just need faith, not, you know, on someone's deathbed, but in maybe situations that are kind of trying. Maybe they're going through a rough spot, and it sounds good, right? It sounds like a Christian-y thing to say, but. And it isn't. It really isn't. So I've got some things that maybe we shouldn't say, or at least maybe take a step back and say, should I say that? And the first one is, you need to have more faith. You should just have more faith. That's the problem.
Yeah. That doesn't seem to me like that would be very helpful if I was having some problem and told that it was all because of me because I didn't have enough faith. I'd wonder whether maybe they were wrong and maybe God could take care of it in his own way. You know, we're just passing through here. We're sojourners in this life, and so we all die. It's just the truth of it. As Paul tells us, our citizenship is in heaven. And so once again, we are here just on it, going through this. This is not really our home. Our home is in heaven. And so we're passing through. So no matter what, no matter who we are, at some point we're going to die.
Right.
And so having more faith, will that prevent us from dying? No, we will die anyway. Some of us fairly young, some of us fairly old, but we all die. And if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe that we have an eternal home. I believe that so strongly, as strong as anything I believe. So, you know, as Paul said, and one of his comments was that he was when he's away from the Lord, he's away from where he wants to be. And so we can be with the Lord, but we would be with the Lord in eternity. And so I don't know. This whole thing of trying to help people by telling them that they need to have more faith, as if they are failing in some way, overlooks all the bad things that happen to people, the cancers and all these things. You know, can you imagine going through a cancer ward and telling people, now just have more faith?
Just have more faith. You'll be fine. You'll be fine because, you know, it does say if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you know, that mountain, you'll tell that mountain to move and it will move. Well, you know, if God has a reason to move that for you, he will. But just because you're a Christian, just because you're a believer, does not mean that your life here is going to be easy. And I think what you said earlier is a huge key. We're just passing through here. This is just temporary. Our home is not here. Our home is in heaven. From Hebrews 11:1, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see.
Yeah.
So in every circumstance, no matter what that is, and I'm not trying to belittle anyone's circumstance. In fact, by not saying stuff like this, I think it helps us not diminish whatever their circumstance is going through, but just know that in the end, whatever that end ultimately is, then it will work out and it'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine because we'll be in the embrace of eternal God. And that would be something that we would all strive for if we understood it. But you know, the only thing we know is here. And so because the only thing we know is here, we think, you know, I don't know if I can believe in these promises about God, but I know what it's like to be here, so I don't want to give that up.
Yeah.
And I think the whole thing of telling people to have more faith, I pray that they have more faith. I pray that I have more faith, that my faith is growing. But, you know, I'm not in control.
Right.
I'm not in control. I'm a horribly flawed person. I don't know if you noticed that. Have you noticed that?
I'm too busy noticing my own flaws, actually.
Yeah, right. You don't have time to worry. Right. You don't have time to worry about me.
And we can, you know, that's actually where, you know, take the log out of your own eye. I'm doing that on like a minute by minute basis. I try to.
Now that to me is a beautiful scripture. I didn't quite understand it because I took it too literally. I thought, well, what's he saying here? I've got a log in my eye. I don't have a log in my eye, and somebody else has a speck. Now I understand it, and I look around at my opinions about people, and I realize that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm looking at somebody saying, oh, they have this slight flaw, or they said this they shouldn't have said, or they did that they shouldn't have done. And I do all of that judging them, but not judging me.
It is a gift that when you have that, and I think as you get deeper in faith, that it what seems like something where you're seeing all your flaws and you think, oh my gosh, that's a terrible thing. It's actually a gift because what it allows you to do, at least in my case, and it sounds like you too, is it allows you to extend way more grace than you normally would.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, also we judge people because it makes us feel better about ourselves.
Yes, it does.
So when you judge people, you know, we're looking at somebody and we're saying, oh, that person, this or that or the other, we're really inflating ourselves and deflating them is really what we're doing. And because it makes us feel better about ourselves, about our condition. And so we look at what is a flaw in them. And that's what Jesus is saying when he says that, take the log out of your eye before you worry about the speck in someone else's. It's exactly what that is. And we do that over and over. I shouldn't say we. I do that over and over again, even noticing when I do it. And so I have to stop myself sort of in mid-thought and think, you know what, Jeff, you're headed to the wrong place here.
Absolutely. I do the same thing. How about this one? Mm-hmm. God will never give you more than you can handle.
Yeah. I think that's probably true, except we don't understand the extent to which God loves us, and that perhaps many of the things that happen to us that we view as disappointments or problems or catastrophes, God uses for good. You know, Genesis 50 tells us God can use evil for good. And I can tell you in my life, and you can tell me in yours, Pat, but there's been so many things, so many turns that my life has taken that I haven't planned, and I've fought as desperately as I could to keep from going in a given direction because I wanted to go in a different direction, only to find that the direction that I was going was the right one, the one that led to something good. As far as that goes, you and I wouldn't even be talking if I'd gone through with some of the things that I actually prayed for. I'd been somewhere else.
Right.
And I'd been a different person because God wanted me to be this as flawed as I am, this person that I'm becoming.
Yes.
And I think that's a big deal.
I do too. And when he's referring to, I think this saying came from, well, it was Corinthians, where no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Mm-hmm. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So I think what they're talking about here is not the bad things that happen in life, because bad things happen in life. I mean, life isn't always difficult, and for some, it's more difficult than others.
Yeah, and bad things happen to good people.
Yes.
It's just the truth. Bad things happen even to good people.
Right.
And it's very sad when that happens for us, but it happens to be true.
It is. And with this Corinthians is talking about, I believe, is the temptation, that he won't give you more temptation than you can handle. Now, what happens oftentimes, and you can probably back me up on this, is we take a look and say, I want to go the wrong way anyway.
Yeah.
It's sort of like Paul talks about, I do what I want to do, I don't do, and what I don't want to do, I do.
Yeah, exactly. That Romans 7:15, when he says that, and that convicts me, actually. I don't understand why I do certain things.
I know.
I just don't understand it. I know better, and yet I do them. That's the human condition. You know, we are flawed, but we have a hope, we have a salvation, we have a direction that we can go. We just need to go in that direction as best we can.
Yes. And I think to be, you know, to be in constant prayer, renewing of your mind constantly, not just, you know, I've got my quiet time in the morning, which is great, but I've learned you got to do it constantly throughout the day. If maybe at lunchtime, you know, crack that Bible, say a prayer throughout the day, just keep on renewing your mind, because it is a constant battle. I bet there's a lot of people that can relate to that too.
I'll bet they can. And yeah, it is. It is a battle that we do. And you bring up the two sources of help that we have. One is, of course, the Bible, looking for the Bible, the Word of God. And the second is prayer. We're meant to be in conversation with God throughout the day.
Yes.
And to the extent we are at least headed in a better direction.
Yes. How about, this is one of my favorites, mm-hmm. not my all-time favorite, that's coming up next, but one of my favorites is everything happens for a reason. I've said that.
I know. I have too. I wish I hadn't, actually. Because I've said it in some times where it's just highly inappropriate. And, you know, we don't know the reason. We don't know God's mind. And, you know, people make dumb decisions. Have you ever made a dumb decision? Probably not. Well, I admit that I have made plenty of dumb decisions. I made decisions that are so dumb that at the time I was making them, I realized they were dumb. And I did them anyway.
That's pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty good.
I'm so proud of myself. So
I've done the same thing. Yes, we've both made those kinds of decisions. So yeah, everything happens for a reason. You know, that doesn't actually appear in the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think the sentiment is different. I think that God is in control and we are not. That I certainly believe, but we have given this free will and we misuse free will daily, each one of us, some to a greater extent than others. But we misuse this free will, and we're given this free will, yet we misuse it, and we take it that we are gods. You know, the culture is filled with this. The culture that the secular humanist culture that we live in, people are their own gods. You know, the last verse of the last chapter of Judges says there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes.
Yep,
and that's the world we live in today. That's... That was 3,300 years ago. They said that, and here we are in the middle of it. People do what's right in their own eyes. They don't care. It's what's right in their own eyes, and they overlook so many things. I think that, you know, God looks at the world from a different vantage point from us. He looks at all the things, all of the people, as to what is good for them and what is healthy and what leads to human flourishing, and yet we do things that are different, and we overlook when we defy God. We defy God by overlooking slavery. Did you know I read something that there are more in the world, there are more slaves today than at any time in history?
I did not know that. I don't know why I'm not surprised by that,
mm-hmm.
just because of the way I think
right.
human beings are going.
Right. And in fairness, we have a population that's a multiple of what it was in ancient times, or when times,
sure.
even in the last 200 years, when slavery seemed to be more common. But you know, we have different kinds of slavery now. This human trafficking is essentially slavery, isn't it?
Yep.
And it's pervasive. It's pervasive, and we're just now hearing about it. You know, we overlook these things. These things happen. It's like the Uyghurs in China. I saw a picture that showed Uyghurs in uniforms in straight lines. There must have been, I don't know, hundreds of Uyghur men. And then you also read that the Chinese government uses Uyghurs for organ harvesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we have this picture of hundreds of Uyghurs, essentially slaves, essentially in a concentration camp, not essentially in concentration, in a concentration camp. Yet we, you know, well, it doesn't affect me, right?
Right.
I'm not a Uyghur. I don't know any Uyghurs. Right. I mean, when God looks at the world, he's looking at the whole world. He's looking at all these people. He's looking at the Uyghurs. He's looking at all kinds of people everywhere. And we need to realize that. So God has a different vantage point than we do. We're meant to be agents for good. Now, I'm getting a little bit away from what we talked about. We were talking about what people say. But so often people are saying things they think are helpful but are not actually helpful.
Exactly. Exactly. See, you're back on track here. We're doing okay. We're doing okay. Because I think we say these things that mm-hmm. because we want to be helpful.
Right.
And it's we don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
I will say at this point, we have a couple more to go, but at this point, it's like if you don't know what to say, and I've said this mm-hmm. before, where someone has come up to me and asked me questions, mm-hmm. and my honest answer is, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't
That's
know.
That's honest.
I don't know.
I think authenticity trumps everything. That's authentic.
Yes.
I don't know. You know, why did God allow that to happen? I don't know. That's an honest and true thing. And, you know, you can ask him in prayer, well, God, why did this happen? We don't know. We can ask him that in glory.
Yes.
But for today, we're dumbfounded by it. We can't, we don't understand so many things.
Yes.
And try to act like it. You know, I think if you just, when you talk to people that have had something horrible happen to them, if you just empathize with them, instead of trying to give them platitudes and so forth, just empathize with them. And I met these two girls at a seminar that I went to several years ago called Best Practices in Ministry. And they gave a presentation on their lives. And their lives had included, the one had a husband who one afternoon, after spending the afternoon with the family and some friends, went out in the barn and shot himself. And the other one had a son who had this horrible cancer, and they became friends and support for each other. And they had a little card, which I still carry, actually, that talks about what do you say to a person who has this horrible story. And, you know, what their first thing was, you say it sucks. You know, it sucks.
Sure, yeah.
It's terrible. Instead of trying to make it some platitude about how, oh, well, God's in charge and you're not, and da-da-da-da-da, you know, empathize with them. How would you feel?
Right.
You feel terrible. Well, join them in that. Acknowledge that. Acknowledge that they're having an honest reaction to something terrible. And I think that's important. I try to do that when I talk to people in pastoral care. I don't have good answers. Maybe somebody that's better at it would have wonderful answers. I don't. I just try to empathize with them and think of what would it be for me if that was, and how sad that is.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's what we're supposed to do as Christians.
Yeah. And you know, God is, there's a Psalm, I can't remember the number, maybe 89, that says, God is with the brokenhearted.
Yes.
I believe he's with us. You know, the shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus cried. He cried when he found out that Lazarus had died. He cried because everybody was so sad. And they were his friends. And I think that's who we're meant to be. We're meant to be with people, sincerely be with them, and help carry their burdens, but carry them not by giving them platitudes on what they should do and not do, as if they're doing something wrong in it, but recognizing that they are in a jam and you're there to be with them.
Absolutely. That's a great thing to keep in mind. Next one, this probably is my personal favorite.
Okay.
God must have needed another angel. Just don't. Just don't.
Well,
I know.
Yes.
Just don't.
Yeah.
I've heard it. I've heard it said. It makes me cringe. I can honestly say I have never said that.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, oh, and it sounds okay. Just don't. Just don't. We could go into the reason why, you know, humans don't become angels and all that, but I don't even, just don't. Just, if that's in your vocabulary, do me a favor, take it out.
Yeah, God needed, I don't think God needs other angels. He's not,
no.
That's not what this is about. It, I don't know, that's what that is right up there with the worst time. God was needing another angel. I don't think so.
How about this one?
Okay.
We're all God's children.
Okay. Okay.
Hmm.
Okay.
But we aren't.
Yeah.
We're all made in his image.
That's true. That's
true. We are all made in his image.
That's true.
Not all his children. We get adopted in.
Yeah.
You get the adoption when you're covered with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Right.
That is how you become his child. You can become his child. And even if you don't, he will love you.
Mm-hmm.
He will love you, but you will not be welcomed into his kingdom.
Yeah, yeah. We're not inheritors of the promise without accepting the gift.
Yes.
So we're given a gift, and we need to accept the gift.
Yes, and that's the thing that always kind of blows my mind. It's free.
Mm-hmm.
It is free. It's a gift. Here it is. Do you want it? It's yours. You can take it. Just take it, but you have to accept it. There are a couple things that come along with it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to accept him as Lord and Savior, and so it's going to be just what we're talking about. It's going to be a lifelong journey, and you no longer live for yourself, which is a daily struggle every day, but it's well worth it.
Yeah. Boy, it is, Pat. This has been fun. This has been fun talking about these different things, and I've said most of them. I didn't say the one about God needed another angel. That one I've not said. Now it's going to be in the back of my mind. I hope it doesn't pop out sometime.
Don't.
if it pops out, it's your fault.
You can play. You know what? I'll give you one. One time you can blame me. That's
it. What I'll say is, you know, I don't believe this, but Pat Barry said. I'm not sure that's I'm not sure that's the best me saying things like that. It happens to be the real me, but it may not be the best me. Well, Pat and I started this project with an idea, and the idea was a quote from C.S. Lewis, which said, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important." That's what Pat and I believe, that this Christianity is indeed true, and therefore it is infinitely important. I pray that you will go from being, if you are a spectator to Christianity, that you will be a participant in this life, this saved life that we work to live. And that I pray too that we don't say these dumb things anymore, that we're more empathetic and more helpful in what we do, knowing that God is with the brokenhearted. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for all the things you teach us in the Bible, this guidebook for life, this handbook to human flourishing, Lord. We thank you for that. And may we be kind to people in ways that we haven't been kind. May we not be judgmental in ways that we might have been judgmental before, Lord. And may we offer your good news to everyone we meet. In Jesus' holy and mighty, mighty name, amen.
Amen.